Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf HaYomi, Menachos Daf Chaf Aleph. We begin two lines off the bottom of Chaf Amud Beis. Ve'ela kro lemutei mai. So yesterday we had a discussion regarding which carbon materials require salting prior to Hakrava. The Pasuk cites Mincha as the model, as the example of which needs a salting. The question is, why do we need that model? Why do we need that example cited to teach us what is included, what's not included? Because what are we going to exclude? So yesterday we discussed excluding firewood, but that's not excluded because we're going like Shitas Rebbe. Who holds that if one donates wood, it's treated like any other mincha and requires salting. Another possible exclusion would be dam, to teach us that blood does not need to be salted prior to Hakrava. Says the Gemara, "V'lekrol mutei mai." So what is this point of comparing everything to a mincha? What are we excluding? Il mutei dam, is it to exclude blood? Well, that's already been excluded based on the other part of the pasuk, "Ma'al menchascha nafka." It's learned from the Ma'al menchascha that teaches only mincha material as opposed to something else. When we choose to exclude blood, which is dissimilar to the mincha, because as we learned yesterday, it doesn't have that added feature. It doesn't have the accompaniment, you know, the firewood that accompanies the blood, which is something that applies to a mincha. In any case, that's been excluded, so blood is out. And if so, why do we need the pasuk to cite the mincha as the prime example, indicating that only something which is similar as opposed to others? What's the opposition? What are the others that you're excluding? Answers the Gemara. Apik Eitzim Ba'al Nesach. The point of the Braisa is, in fact, to exclude Nesach. Let's leave out Eitzim. Eitzim, firewood, as we explained, doesn't need Malicha like Rebbe. Rather, we are seeking to exclude Nesach, the pourings of the wine, the oil. That doesn't need salting. And for that, we need that comparison to the Mincha, because they're dissimilar to the Mincha in the sense that they're not burnt on the fire, etc. Bisanya. As we will discover in the following braisa, that nesachim are out. Nesani aval yain, there you go, wine, vadam, blood, va'etzim, firewood, bacteris, okteris, ain't turn in melach, no salt required. Fine. Now we have a question. Who's the author of this braisa here that excludes all these items like Yain, dam, eitzim, and keteris. Mani, e, Rebbe, is it shitas Rebbe, kashi, eitzim? Well, that won't work with eitzim because it requires melich on eitzim, as we learned yesterday. If you're rabbanon, it's going like the rabbanon, that eitzim are out, kashi, keteris. But what about keteris? Which the rabbanon told us yesterday is in, and here it's out. Haitanu, we have a third shita, which fits with this braisa. The sanya, Rebbe Shmuel, b'noi, shel, Rebbe Yechon, b'reko, eimer, ma, prat, mefurosh. So the Torah cites an example of something which needs melicha like the mincha, only others that are comparable and share the same characteristics. So according to him, it has to fit the following bill. Number one, davar shemekabel tuma. Just like a mincha is mekabel tuma, if it touches tuma, it's susceptible to that. And also va'ilu l'ishim, it's burned on the fire, on the mizbeach, v'yeshnei al mizbeach achitzein, it's placed on the external mizbeach in the azara. Only something which is similar in these three realms will share the halacha of melicha. Av kol davar shemekabel tuma, kabel tuma, v'ilu l'ishim, v'yeshnei al mizbeach achitzein, as opposed to all those items. Yotzu eitzim, as opposed to wood, shem mekabel tuma, they're not susceptible to tuma, they're out. Yotzu dam, blood as well, and also v'yayin din yasachim, the wines, because they're not burnt on the fire. Shein eitzim l'ishim, yotzu keteris, and keteris as well is out, shein al mizbeach achitzein, because it's not exclusively on the external mizbeach. Rather, actually, it's never on the Mizbech HaChitzin. It's always going to be on the Mizbech HaPnim in the Heichel, so it's out. Okay, so that's going to be the opinion reflected in the braisa cited above. Ask the Gemara. I have another question here. How could you suggest that blood needs to be salted? Because if you salt the blood, the acidic effect has like a cooking effect and renders it unfit for Mizbech purposes. Well, the time of the Matikra, apparently, the only reason why you don't salt your blood is because of the pasuk excluding it. Well done, right? Halam achi, but otherwise, I would require malicha. I would require malicha on dam. How could you, given the malicha, once it's salted, nafaklei mitaras dam, it loses its true blood status. And it's not suitable for application on mizbeach. Dam aziri, amar chanina, dam shebishle, if one cooks blood, generally, eina oiver olav, if he eats it, is not chayiv karis, because the pasuk makes that parallel. Don't eat blood. Blood is meant for kapara. Only blood which is suitable for kapara has that consequence, but blood which becomes unsuitable, unfit for hakrava, like cooked blood, if one eats it now, he's not chayiv karis. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Zairi quotes Zairi, just as cooking has that effect, salting has a similar effect as well. Dam shem melchay, eina ever alav. Rabbi Yehuda De Amar, he adds another point, Rabbi himself says, Eivaram shetzolon, behalam, let's say he takes limbs of the carbonate, he first roasts it, and then puts it on the mizbeach, ein bem shem rech nechayach, that's lacking a fulfillment of the pasuk which says rech nechayach Hashem. It's meant to exude that aroma on the mizbeach. But in any case, clearly salting blood disables it from akrava. So why would you think to salt it? I would think mishdebe mashu. Perhaps you just sprinkle it a little bit, le mitzvah ba'amah, just in fulfillment of this requirement. Kamashim on the point is you don't even do that. So certainly heavy salting wouldn't make sense, but perhaps a slight sprinkle which doesn't have that cooking effect. The answer is no. Gufa, let's go back to this sort of side point we discussed about cooked blood, amaziri, amarchanina, dam shebishli, eino iver alav. Okay, so cooked blood loses its status. Yosef Rava, because Amr Lola Shemait, Rava was sitting and saying over the halacha, Isvi Abayab, I had a question on this from Ebraisa. Hikpa sadam va'achle, suppose a person warms up blood and congeals and then eats it. Oishim chasachele v'gama, or the opposite, it takes fat, which is a solid, and he dissolves it and eats it, and then swallows it. Chayav, he's still liable to all the liabilities of these forbidden matters. So clearly, even cooked blood is still considered proper blood regarding Isser. You're telling me it's not? The answer is it depends how it was cooked. Lekash, kan shehik pabur, he cooked it up and congealed it using real fire. That's irreversible. And that changes its status. Kanshik pabachama. The other brayse is speaking that it was cooked up in the sun. That's reversible. So it doesn't lose its status. Igmar explained. Or using real fire, lehadar will never return to its original state properly. As opposed to bachama in the sun, hadar will go back. Says Igmar, but even bachama, if it was done by way of solar heat, nami, we should still say, lema, hoyal ve'itchi itchi, once it was rejected during the point that it was congealed. While congealed, was rejected from carbon use. Itchi, so now it should be rejected permanently and lose its status. So although you can technically reverse it, but during its solid state, it lost its suitability for akrava, and hence Isser as well. D'habay minei Rabbi Man. He asked the question, Rabbi Yechanan. Dam shekarash v'achlei, congealed blood. That was eaten. Ma, what's the status? Amalei. Too late. Once it's congealed, it's unsuitable for akrova and loses its iser status as well. So remain silent. He didn't have an answer. I'm late. So the questioner responded, you know what? Maybe I can offer a solution. It depends which blood we're talking about. Dilma. Vada ikan b'chatoyos ha'chitzoynois, ikan b'chatoyos ha'pnimiyos. He says like this. The blood of an internal chatos, that needs to be in its liquid state to be suitable, because you have to dip your finger in it, otherwise it loses its status and loses its issue. But blood of a chatos chitzoina from the Azara, and certainly just a regular mundane animal, that blood, even if it was congealed at a certain point, it will not lose its status. So even while congealed, it's still going to be chayef. Why? Because, as we're going to see in a minute, that's still a ro'i for kapara, even in its solid state. Amalei, so Rabbi responded, Abaye suggested this answer. So Rabbi says, right on, actually, you just jogged my memory. At Karta Mosi, you reminded me something that Rav Chisda taught. He taught this very distinction between a carbon which must be in its liquid state, as opposed to other carbonates, and certainly non-carbonates, where the blood status is retained despite its solid state. Amar v'chizda, dam shekorish b'chatois v'acholei, congealed blood of echatos, v'uziknis chayev. Why? V'lokach. Amar Rachmana, Torah says, v'lokach v'nosan, take it and place it on the mizbeach. Amar Rachmana. There's no dipping and spraying. V'hai, even if it's congealed, bar l'kicho nesino, you can still, you know, take it and put it on the mizbeach. So it's suitable for atonement, suitable for akrova, and therefore if one eats it, he's chayev, as opposed to the blood of echatos apnimis, which needs to be in its liquid state to be suitable for its function. B'chatois apnimis v'achole there, if it solids up and he eats it, he's potter. Why v'taval v'hiza? The pasuk says, dip your finger and spray it. Amrachmana. That's what's required, which can be done in this state v'hai. And once it congeals, lav bar tefila v'azo, it's impossible to do tefila v'azo. So only in this case, and in this case only, do we say congealed loses its status. Rav de Dei Amar, but Rav himself, a quarter of Chizda, actually disagreed. He says, guess what? Let's extend this further. Because once you find that in certain instances, congealed still retains status, then by extension, all other scenarios as well. Rav de Dei Amar, filu b'chatois apnimis v'acholei chayiv, even congealed, internal chatas blood is chayiv if one eats it. Hoilu kinegdoi roi b'chatois ha-chatois. Since this very scenario, in a parallel setting, i.e. an external chatas would be roi for a kapara, so this type, this variation of blood, even congealed blood, is found to still have retained its status, and therefore, in this case as well, it's considered full-fledged blood. Amar Papa. Said Rav Papa, if so, we'll take it a step further. Since we draw parallels, and once we find it suitable in one state, it retains its status all over. Imagine blood of a chamar, a non-kosher animal, which is even roi for carbon to begin with. And furthermore, it was congealed. V'chol and he eats it, he's chayev. He violated Isur Dam. What do you mean? Donkey blood, it's not roi for kapara, certainly when it's congealed, no, but since we find this very type of thing in a similar state is here as well. Hoilu kenegdo, since in the corresponding parallel scenario, it's roi, v'chatois ha-chatzonis, since blood in general, even congealed blood, can theoretically serve kapara purposes, such as in chatos ha-chatzonis, any blood, even a congealed state, is chayiv for eating it. Okay, further on the topic of blood, Amar Rav Gidl Amar Ziri. Dam. So blood which is present on a person's skin, bein lacha bein yavish, whether it's in its liquid form or it's somewhat congealed, chaytet, presents a chatzitza issue if one is tevel like that in a mikvah, forms a barrier between the water and the skin. Maybe it comes a question from a brisa which says otherwise. Hadam, blood, vadyoy, ink, vadvash, honey, vachalav, or milk, yivet, and chayshin, only in a dry state. They present a chatzitza, lachen ein chaytza, but in their liquid state, they do not present chatzitza issues. Whereas Rav Gidlo just quoted Ziri, bein lach, bein yavish chaytza, whether it's dry or wet, it presents a chatzitza. Like Kashi answers like this, ha, the sarach. When Rav Gidlo said dry is a problem, that's when it's, and when he says, I'm sorry, when he says liquid is still a problem, that's when it began to sort of thicken and congeal. And that's enough to present a problem. Ha, the loy sarach. When the brisa says lach, liquid is not a problem, that's when it's totally in its liquid state without, you know, any form of, any level element of congealment. Okay, back to Hilchos Melicha on the carbon. The pasuk says, your carbon should be salted. V'chol carbon menchoscha bamelach v'salt timlich, you should salt it. Sounds like it's a redundancy, like a repetition. What's the point of Timuch Mayasa? What's that pasuk teaching us? The Sanya asked for the following price. If it only says the word Bamelach, Yachal Tivuneu, perhaps Tivuneu would be the proper approach. Which the Gemara says, meaning, you know, you pile it up, you layer it up with much salt. Tamalayma Timlach comes back and the pasuk says, Timlach, you don't need that much. On the other end, Timlach, if only the second pasuk, Yachal Meimelach, perhaps salt water is enough. Tamalayma Bamelach. Actual salt is required. The pasuk continues, "V'leisash b'smelach." Don't suspend the salt. What's the point of this? Havi melach shein shavesis. Bring the type of salt which never rests. All throughout the year, throughout all the seasons, it's produced 24/7. That's basically sea salt. Ve'ezoi, what type is that? Zumelach stoimis. Sea salt. So in this context, we're calling all sea salt melach stoimis, even though melach stoimis is a very specific type of salt, perhaps connected to stoim. But in any case, here it's just a reference to sea salt, that type, which is constantly being produced by the sea. That's the type you're meant to use. As opposed to mined salt, right? That's the other option, which is seasonal, right? It can't be mined, in the winter months and the rain, and then certainly not on Shabbos. So the Torah prefers the first type. Perhaps you can't find sea salt. Bring the mined salt. Yep, takrif. The word takrif tells you that also works. Takrif kosher. Furthermore, takrif tells us mikol mokim. Even if you bring it from outside Eretz Yisrael, the word takrif teaches afilu b'shabbos. You can even salt on Shabbos as part of the avodah. Even though heavy salting is considered a malacha, like ibud perhaps. In any case, the point is that it's allowed on Shabbos. Takrif tells you afilu b'tuma, even if there's a tuma issue, but it's a public carbon, you can do the avodah b'tuma, and salting is part of the avodah, which is allowed to done b'tuma as well. Now the Braisa began that the word timlach, Ramalach would teach us tivoineu. Perhaps tivoineu. No, you don't need tivoineu. What is tivoineu? My tivoineu. Amar Rabbrul, Amar Chakamar, Yachil Yizboinenu. Could happen, but perhaps you pile it on like hay in the cement. And the answer is no. Amar Abaye. Says Abaye Yachiv. That's the meaning of the word of the pasuk. Yizboinenu. The Baisa wouldn't say yivoineu. It would say yizboinenu like tevin, yitboinenu. Elam Abaye rather says Abrai, the Braisa meant Yachal Yasenu Kevinyan. Yivoneo means you build it up, you layer it up like, tons of salt. Amalei Rabbis, Rabbi responds again with a semantics issue. Yachal, if that's the purpose of the Braisa, if that's the meaning, Yivnenu, but it would say Yivnenu like a binyan. Elam Rabbi says, Rabbi, the Braisa meant Yachal Tivoineo. Perhaps you do Tivoineo. What does that mean? My Tivoineo. Marvashi Yachal, Tivoineo is like Bina, understanding, right? So there's Chachma, the initial, exposure to the information, then you have Bina, the analysis and absorption and further understanding. So perhaps you need to heavily salt this item to have it sort of absorbed like Bina and internalized in the item. You have to pile it on until the flavor actually permeates the material like Bina, which is the internalization of information and intellect. Tamalayim comes to pass and says, Timlach, even a somewhat a superficial layer is enough. Ketidu'i says, so what's the bottom line? How do you proceed? Maybe Haver shall carbon, you bring the Aver of whatever you're trying to salt. V'noisinolav, and you add a layer of salt of one side. V'chazibayim, turn it over upside down, do the same on the other side, and that's enough. V'noisinolav, melech malayim, put on the mizbech. Rabbi, v'chen l'kadera. Likewise, this process, this method is applied in salting meat before cooking. This is adequate. Don't need to pile it up. Indefinitely with salt. Tana Rabbana. Melach shal gabi aver. So let's say there is some salt on the aver of the carbon. What's the status of that salt? Mayalan boy. If one takes it off and uses it, he's committed me'ila because the salt is one and the same as the carbon. However, shagabe akevesh, you find a granule salt on the ramp up to the mizbeach. Usha brishish mizbeach or on top of the mizbeach and melon, but there's no me'ila there because it's no longer fit for use. It fell off. It's on the floor. Vamrav mas, the micro, was a source that the salt on the carbon material is considered like the carbon itself regarding me'ilah. We craft them lifnei Hashem, v'shlucha kanam aleim melach, the kanam add salt, v'helu oisam, they bring them both up, the item and the salt. Apparently, they're both considered oyla l'Hashem, and there's me'ilah on both. Then also we have a Mishnah in Meseches Shkolam. So the Bezen established a system ala melach, ala etzim, the public salt supply, and the public firewood supply. Who can partake in those? The Kehanim can take them. Amar Shmuel says, Shmuel, you know what for what? They can't just take it for personal use. Lashona, it's only true of the Karbanim, to process their Karbanis. They can apply public salt and use public wood. But for personal consumption, they can't use that supply. Now, what did he mean when he said, Le Karbanim, yes, and Lachila loy? Because Sankadat, the more figure at this point, Mal Karbonim. The Karbonim means that a Kohen can partake in these supplies and add them to his Karbon that he's offering to Hashem. Lumelech Karbonim. But Lachila, that's out. What does Lachila mean? Lachila's Kachim, even when he's eating, consuming Karbon materials, he can't add salt, etc. to that. Sounds like more, that's inconceivable. That a Kohen cannot partake in the public salt supply for his own. For the portion of the carbon that he's consuming, because hashta l'mloyach oiros kashim yavinam, we allow them to take salt, to salt and to process the hides, the skins that they get of the carbonites, which is mamish chulin. We let them take yavinam, we give them achilos kashim yavinam, we won't give them some salt to have their portion of the carbon to add salt, which is actually part of the avodah. It's a mitzvah to eat it. Completes the kapara, right, of the owner. So why won't you let them take salt for that? And what do we find that they can tap into the public supply of salt for the hides? The sanya, we have a brayse, nimtzas at the omer. Turns out there are three locations where they kept the salt. B'shloisha mekoymas hamelach nesuna. Salt was placed in three locations. Number one, b'shloisha hamelach, in the salt chamber. Shesham molchen eres kachem. There you go. That's used for processing the hides. So clearly they can take that salt for that purpose. Okay, let's continue the braisa. The second location was Al-Gabi Akevesh, on the ramp up to the Mizbech. Shasham Molchem Mizayibarim, that's what they used for salting the limbs. And a third pile, Bereishu Mizbech, on top of the Mizbech, which was kept free and clean of grease and anything else, and that was used to salt the Menachos. Shasham Molchem HaKoimetz, for the Koimetz, Valavoinim, Akteris, Mechaz Gan, Mechaz Mashiach, etc., etc. Mechaz Nesachem, Valisoyiv. So it's been established that the Gehenna can take from the public supply for their hides, certainly to eat the karbanis. So why would you not allow that? Ella, rather, let's go back to Shmuel's statement. He said, Gehenna can partake for karban, not for achila. What does that mean? Ella mai, so certainly the karbanim means lachila's karbanim. Of course, they can use it for their own karbanis in terms of offering, but even to eat, to add some public salt while they're eating their portion of the karbanis, that's also allowed. Lachinus karbanim, my lachila, when the Shmuel says, but not for achila, means for private achila. Achila de chulim, private food, that they can't use salt for. Well, obviously, chulim shita to use for their own personal food, of course, that's plainly evident. My bo hasam, what's the food doing there in the Beis HaMikdash? Doesn't belong there. Says the Gemara, yeah, it does belong there sometimes, because sometimes they have to supplement their karban materials with regular food. Because they're meant to eat their portion of carbon in a relaxed manner, in a royal manner, not, you know, starving and famished. So if there's just a little bit of carbon to eat, they have to bring their own food to supplement it, to sort of get themselves going and get themselves somewhat satiated, like we find by carbon Pesach. It's meant to be eaten ala soiv, not the beginning of the meal while you're, right? Sort of towards the end, when things are calm and relaxed, in a royal, relaxed fashion. So here as well, sometimes they have to bring in private food to supplement. So even though they can bring their food, but they should not add public salt to that food. That's the point of Shmuel. Afgad Amar, as even though we learned that the pasuk says the kihanim should eat yoichlu, and that teaches us that sometimes they have to add more food to prepare themselves to eat the carbon material properly, the proper mindset. Yoichlu ima chulin v'trum. Sometimes they have to add chulin and truma to the meal. Why? Kadesh den echel, so that the carbon material should be consumed ala soiva while somewhat satiated. So even though that's allowed and that's recommended, afilocha still melach de kachem lo yavin lo. We don't give them public melach, holy melach for their private food. So basically, Shmuel gives us this sort of formula. Although the Mishnah allows the kohanim to take melach, but only the carbon, not lachila. We have two ways to understand. Either it means when they bring their karbanos, but not when they consume karbanos. The second approach was, certainly they can use it for their karbanos, and even consuming karbanos, but not to add it to their private foods. You know, it appears that the second interpretation of Shmuel is the correct one. That all he's saying is, use it for consumption of carbon, not consumption of private food. But certainly, there's no need to say that they can use it when they offer their own carbonates. They're no different than a Yisrael carbon. It makes more sense, this, because if we'll take the first approach, that Maila Karbana, when Shmuel says they can use it for Karbana, means Lemloyach, to salt their Karbana is, well, of course, why would they be different than Yisrael who can use the salt for his Karbana? It's time with Asni Bezin. So it would appear, according to this avenue, that the allowance was because Bezin made a special allowance for the Kohanim to take public melech for their Karbanas, to be mocker of their Karbanas. But otherwise they can't? Why not? Holoi Asni Bezin loy? But otherwise, there's no Tanai Bezin, they can't do it. Why would they be different than a Yisrael? Hash to Yisrael, Avinu, forgive them to regular Yisrael for his Karbanas. The Kohanim not? The Kohanim li Avinam? The Sanya. Where do we find that a Yisrael has access to the salt for his own Karbanas? The Sanya. Yochlo Imer. Harei la Mincha Yavi Melech Vatech Beisai. So perhaps if a person gets up and promises, offers a mincha, he has to bring his own salt. Kederosha maybe levenim techbeis, just as he brings his own levena, as we'll see later. Vidinu. And perhaps that's correct. He should bring his own salt, because let's compare it to the levena, which has to be self-supplied. Nemar havi mincha vavi mel. Pasuk says, you know what? You bring a mincha, bring salt as well. Vnemar havi mincha vavi levena. And Torah says, when you bring a mincha, bring levena. Let's compare the salt, which accompanies the mincha, to the levena, which accompanies the mincha. Ma levena, just like levena, has to be self-supplied. Perhaps salt has to be self-supplied. Or perhaps take a different approach. Nemar havi mincha vavi melech. Torah says, bring your mincha with salt. Bring a mincha with firewood, just like the firewood is publicly supplied. Perhaps the salt as well is publicly supplied. So now salt, is it privately supplied or publicly supplied? Which way? Do we compare it to the firewood, which is public, or the levena, which is private? Let's see what's more comparable to. What does salt compare more to? Dun and davar hanayik b'chalas vachem. Let's apply salt, which is applicable to all karbanis. Midavar hanayik b'chalas vachem, something which is likewise universal, like firewood. V'atachech levena, as opposed to levena, which is a very specific type of offering. She'ina nehig b'chalas vachem, doesn't apply to all karbanis, only mincha. So once we compare salt to firewood, it's publicly supplied. Oiklach ha'derach, so perhaps take a different approach. Dun and davar habayim ha'bekli echad. Let's compare salt, which is included in the same kli as the mincha, and let's compare it to levena. Midavar haba imam kli echad, likewise joins the mincha in the same kli, and just like that's privately supplied the salt as well, as opposed to firewood, which is a separate entity. We can't prove anything from firewood. She ain't a boy ima kli echad, which is not in the same kli. So which way is it? Bring your own or use the public salt. Hamleimar says the pasuk bris melech olam. So the word bris is related to salt. Well, how even elsewhere we find by the lechem apanim, meis bnei Yisrael bris olam. So we compare the two items, and we say just like that's publicly supplied. Likewise, every salt and every carbon is taken from the public melach supply. Malahalon mishal tzibah kam shal tzibah. So once we've established that by every Yisrael the salt is publicly supplied, why would I think a kind is different? It goes without saying that he can use the same salt. So when Shmuel says carbon, yes, achila, no, for the kohen, he didn't mean hakrovas hakarbon. Of course, that's obvious. He meant they can add salt to their meal when they're partaking in the carbon consumption, but not for private food. Amalir of Matchal Ravashi, yeah, not so quick. Perhaps we can still accept the first interpretation of Shmuel's statement. A kohen can partake in public salt for karbanos, his own karbanos. Why would I think otherwise? The answer is because he doesn't contribute to the fund. He doesn't pay machzor shekel. He explained like this. The nisruch, the point is, Ela ben Bukhri. According to Ben Bukhri, who says they don't send in the machzor shekel. So perhaps they're disenfranchised from the public salt supply, and that's why Shmuel has to tell us, you know what, we give it to them anyways. It's not as we find in the Mishnah. Amar Yehuda, Amar Yehuda, Heid ben Bukhri b'Yavne, ben Bukhri testified in Yavne, in front of the Chachamim, kol kohen sheshoikel eni chayt. You know, a kohen doesn't have to contribute to the Machzor Shekel fund. Only those that were counted in the Midbar, Shevet Levi was not part of the count, he doesn't have to. But if he does it, kol kohen sheshoikel, if he decides to do it, be a generous fellow. Ein echayta, he hasn't sinned, meaning it's okay, because as we're going to learn later, he gives it, you know, wholeheartedly. It's given over to the public fund. It's fine, but he doesn't have to. So bottom line is, according to this opinion, perhaps he's not allowed to access the public salt fund as well. And the answer is we give it to him for his use. So that's the point. Amale Rechman Zaka, he disagreed. Like he actually not. Ella, just the opposite. A kohen has to contribute. Kohen Shehina Shekel Choyt. If he fails to send the Machzor Shekel, he sins. Rashi brings the Gemara in Shkolim. It says Ze Yitnu Ze is numerically 12, all the 12 Shvatim, no exceptions. But the Kohanim found a way out. Elasha Kohanim Dershin Mikra Zel Atzman. They applied this pasuk for their own benefit. So they found a pasuk to source their non-contribution. The pasuk generally says that a mincha that a kohen brings is fully burnt in the mizbeach. So their argument is: look, if we're going to contribute to the public fund, which is used partially to buy menachis, right? The korban omer, all these are menachis. Shelanuhi, if we contribute to the fund, so we're partial owners, you're going to have a problem on hand. How are you going to eat those menachis? It's a minchas kohen, at least partial. Okay. So that's the machlekes. In any case, back to our discussion. Kote ben Bukhri, that they're not required to send in money. If they don't contribute, who says they can use a public melech? That's the point of the Gemara, they could. Says the Gemara ben Bukhri. Now, Kote ben Bukhri, just a side point, they don't have to contribute, but they can. Kibin chathil mechayiv lasui, if the kohen is not required to do it, ki maisi nami, if he brings the chaytu, it's a bad thing, because the kuma'ayin chul nazara. Because now, whatever is purchased from that money is chulin. And that's being used in the Azara for carbon. The answer is the mice you muscle on the tzibur. The answer is when he sends in the money, he gives it wholeheartedly. It doesn't remain his. He's giving it over as a public donation. And now, you know, it can be incorporated into a public fund, and it's okay. Okay, so based on this whole discussion, according to Ben Bruchru, that a kohen is not required to send in money and pay for the carbon. Perhaps I would think, if so, ki zaki l'rachmana, when the Torah allows an individual owner to use that salt, as we had in the pasuk before, right? Meis b'nei Yisrael, right? For his carbon, perhaps it's limited to a Yisrael who paid for it. Yisrael, the Islu Lishka, because they paid for the salt in that chamber. The Kehanim are less lulishka, but the Kehanim who haven't, right? The Yisrael who Rashi says send in the shkolim for the lishka where they put the shkolim. So basically, you contributed to the fund you get, but the Kehanim who hadn't contributed, the Kehanim less lulishka, perhaps Torah didn't give them the rights to access the public salt. L'zachal rachmona, kamashmon comes the halacha of Shmuel and says no. That actually the bezin established it all around that the Kehanim, just as Israel can partake in the salt for the carbonis. Okay, so bottom line is we have a Tanai Bezdin that the melech is accessible to the Kehanim as well. Shmuel says only for carbon purpose, not for achilu. We have two ways to understand. Either the point is to allow them for carbonis, which perhaps they wouldn't have a right to do otherwise, but not for achilu of carbonis. Whereas according to the second approach, of course they can use it for karbanis. The point is even for achil of karbanis, but not for achil of chulin. We established that based on the brayse and the pasuk that salt for karbanis are publicly supplied. We discussed which items need to be salted, which items not. We had a discussion regarding firewood, regarding dam, regarding Nesachim, Guaran Keteris. We learned about cooked dam, which loses its status. Even salted dam loses its status. We discussed the process of Malicha. I concluded that it just needs a light salting of both sides, and that the Melach becomes sort of part and parcel of the carbon with respect to Me'ila as well. All the best to you, and much, much Aslacha.